This webcast is a service of South Dakota Public Broadcasting. More information at sd.net.
I'd like to call to order the Senate Ag and Natural Resource Committee. And at this time, I would like to greet the folks on the internet that just joined us. And I'd like to welcome all the guests. It's good to see a full house. And at this time, I would like the pages to come up and introduce themselves. Tell us a little bit about yourself and a little bit about your future. You're up.
I'm Anna Schwader. I'm from Howard, South Dakota. After I graduate, I plan on running for a state FFA office. And if I get that position, then I'll attend SDSU for a year and then transfer to Dakota Wesleyan University for nonprofit administration.
I'm Kaylin Thompson. I'm from Webster, and I'm not sure what I'm going to do with my future.
Okay. Thank you for that. At this time, I'd like to remind folks, be sure your cell phones are on silent. Any violation, you'll get the privilege of providing jerky for the entire meeting. So at a buck ahead, it's a significant penalty. At this time, I would have the secretary call the roll.
Senators Blair.
Here.
Ewing.
Here.
Come.
Yes.
Here.
Otten.
Here.
Soholt.
Here.
Foster. It's excused. Heinert.
Here.
Youngberger.
Here.
Kamak.
Here.
There is a quorum.
We have a quorum. At this time, I'd entertain an approval of the minutes of the last meeting.
So moved. Second.
Moved by Youngberg, seconded by Klum. All those in favor, aye.
Aye.
The minutes are approved. That's fine. At this time, I'd like to remind anyone that plans on testifying to be sure that you sign in at the podium and make sure you sign in legibly. It'll make the job of the folks up here, make their job a lot easier. And I would also like to remind you that any handouts that you might have, make sure that you make use of our very able pages. And any questions that might come before the committee will be addressed through the chair. And at this time, we are going to move on to consideration of bills. And we're going to start out by finishing House Bill 1073. We had the testimony, and there was an amendment that was brought. So if you would like to come up. So do you want to... if someone would like to move that amendment.
They're passing it out now.
Yep, we'll give it a moment. And one thing I would mention is the amendment is on the front page, and then what the bill will look like after the amendment is applied is just behind, so that's very helpful. Thank you, Anita. Yes. Senator Blair.
I move the amendment.
Okay. And we need referred to a number. So the amendment has been moved 1073BA, and has been moved by Senator Blair, seconded by Senator Youngberg. Would you like to discuss the amendment?
Oh, yeah, just very briefly. Thank you, Mr. Chairman and members of the committee. I think these are some good changes to this, just clarifying that this drone is to be used on private ground, take the public aspect out of it. And then also the month of September, that's not a big deal in predator control. So I see no problem with the amendments.
Does anyone have questions or comments on the amendment as it's written? Senator Soholt.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Well, I just really appreciate the accommodation by the prime sponsor, and I think this is, you know, just the spirit of how policy should work, you know, that there's some issues of consideration, and those are taken in good faith, so I think it's a really good amendment.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
Any other questions or discussion on the 1073, on the amendment? If none, all those in favor, aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, 1073 is so amended. Is there any further discussion on the bill?
Mr. Chair.
Senator Klum.
Move do pass as amended.
Second.
It's been moved do pass as amended by Senator Klum, seconded by Senator Soholt. Any further discussion or questions?
Oh, Mr. Chair, we had good debate, and not really not even any debate, but just good conversation at the last meeting. This amendment answers a lot of questions, so I ask that we move forward with it.
Any further discussion or comments? Seeing none, the motion is do pass on House Bill 1073 as amended. And at this time, the Secretary will call the roll.
Senators Blair.
Aye.
Ewing.
Aye.
Klum.
Aye.
Otten.
Aye.
Soholt.
Aye.
Foster.
Aye.
Heinert.
Aye.
Youngberg.
Aye.
Kamak.
Aye.
The vote's unanimous.
The vote is unanimous. Senator Blair moves consent, seconded by Senator Ewing. All those in favor, aye.
Aye.
Did we have opposition on it?
Yeah, that guy got up on the original bill.
As long as there was no opposition, even with an amended bill, we can put it on consent, correct?
On the original bill, not on the amended bill. But
let's just pull it.
Okay. We'll just, we will, the.
Wait, who's speaking? All right. I like to hear
that. Okay. All right. The motion has been pulled by the sponsor. So at this time, we will move on to Senate Bill 149 to increase the amount authorized for certain brand fees and to authorize a brand registration application fee and expedited registration fee. And that's me. Yes, I want that moved right away.
Okay, get my iPad off the rails now. Alrighty. 149?
Yep.
You want to put that? With the, alrighty. Please introduce yourself.
Mr. Chair, Senator Gary Kamak, District 29. And I'm bringing Senate Bill 149, and it's a proposal to increase the some certain fees for the brand board in order to be able to make the brand board cash flow. And at this time, I would like to propose an amendment.
Mr. Chair, I move 149JA.
Second.
Second.
I have 149JA moved by Senator Klum, seconded by Senator Heinert. All in favor, is there any discussion on that amendment? Senator Soholt.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I just would have a question on the amendment on page 2, line 9, where you have delete everything before the quotation marks. And so I'm trying to understand exactly what's being deleted on line 9, which is subset 12, I understand, and it's just... Am I reading that incorrectly? Could you help me with that, please?
Yes, I can help you with that. What that does... The last portion of the amendment would strike the expedited registration fee.
Any other questions? Senator Heinert.
Yeah. You have a question on that one? No?
No, I have a comment, but if you have a question, go ahead.
All right, just so I'm sure that I understand. So is that just saying all of line 9 is deleted? I'm just trying to understand from, you know, maybe. Oh, it's before the period. Got it. Okay. My apology.
All righty. Any other questions?
That's all right. I couldn't answer the question anyway.
Senator Heinert.
I just
I'll make a brief comment. I'm fine with the amendment. I'll support the amendment, but I do think it's a little bit silly. We're amending it by $2 and $10. So,
okay,
that's me.
Alrighty. Any other comments regarding the motion to amend? So we're taking up motion, the amendment 149JA. All in favor of that motion, aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion. Amendment passes. Sorry. All right. Now we will go back to the bill. Senator Kamak.
Mr. Chair, I would like to defer the balance of the testimony to some folks that have a clearer understanding.
All righty. Thank you. Anybody else? Any other proponent testimony on Senate Bill 149?
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, Debbie Trapp, Director of the Brand Board, I ask for your support for the amended bill to increase the caps on the brand fund fees. All the members of the Brand Board and myself will also pay this fee increase. The Brand Board operates solely on the funds we generate for the programs we administer. We do not receive any federal funds or any general funds from the state. The majority of our brand revenue comes from brand renewals. The renewals are every 5 years and ending in 0 and 5, and the next renewal period will start January of 2020. In addition to processing brand applications, transfers, renewals, the Brand Board also processes shipper permits, grazing permits, and trailing permits at no cost to the producers. Last year, we processed over 2,100 shipper permits from our office, in addition to those that the brand inspectors processed. With your permission, Mr. Chairman, I have a handout.
Yep, go ahead.
Mr. Chairman, the first page is the bill prior to the amendment, so I apologize for that. But on line 9 of that, where it discusses the registration fee, this fee was set in 1988, 31 years ago. And on line 10, the renewal fee was set in 1999, which was 20 years ago. And on line 12, the transfer fee was also set in 1988. On page 3 of the packet, as I stated earlier, the majority of our revenue is every 5 years. For fiscal year 20 through 24, with no change in this revenue, using the actual figures we had for the last 5 years, it would be $1.6 million. Our projected expenses for the next 5 years are 2.8, and those includes improvements that I will mention. So therefore, a shortfall of $1.2 million. Upgrades that we are planning would be for online brand renewals. This would allow producers to log in and do the renewals online rather than mailing in their payments to the brand office. Currently, our only method of payment are checks, cash, and money orders. We have also received requests to generate receipts for these brand renewals, and the increase in the cap so that the fee could be increased would allow us to mail out receipts for the renewals. We also will be conducting a survey of the brand owners at the time of renewal to actually find out how many of these brands are currently being applied to livestock. If we the sufficient number is to show that there are several brands that are not being used, we propose to transfer them to a historical brand registration, and therefore that brand would not be considered when you're doing a conflict check for a new brand. The fee increase would also cover the cost of two livestock investigators. Currently, we have one DCI investigator. We did not fill a position due to the budget shortfall. They are employed by the DCI, but the Brand Board reimburses their costs. Also included would be compensation for 2 to 3 brand inspectors to become certified law enforcement to help in the compliance. Last fall, we had with just a 2-week period of 3 producers leaving the area with over 600 head of cattle not getting brand inspected. The Brand Board must also maintain a fund balance, as we do not receive any general funds in the past where they have needed extra money for the health insurance pool. The Brand Board must get that money from the fund we have. The next page just gives you a breakdown of the history of the brand renewal cap and the changes throughout the years. Following that is a comparison of the surrounding states. Currently, South Dakota does not have an application for a brand fee. It lists what the other states are currently charging and their renewal fees. There are differences in time. Some are 5 years, some are 10, some are 4. And also the transfer fee. The last page is our condition statement showing the actual figures for 17 and 18 and then our projections going forward. This projection is at a renewal fee of $90 for 5 years or $18 a year. We're showing the projection at the end of 2024 of $240,000, which is needed then to operate another 6 months until the renewal money would come in January of 2025. I stand by for any questions.
Alrighty, thank you. Any other proponent testimony? Please state your name.
Myron Williams. I'm a member of the Brand Board, and I'm a smoothmouth rancher from Wall, South Dakota. Not to belate the system, but, and I'm Mr. Chairman, I'm with your testimony and everyone that's here. I would like to express some history that we have seen. You've seen it when the renewal fee has not been renewed for 20 years. But one thing about our program is it's a statewide program as far as registration goes. The brand inspection is just West River. And we have as many incidents or more East River that we're involved with, and we have to pay mileage and inspectors to go to that area to take care of those cases as they do West River. It concerns me that we have 24,000 brands, and Debbie mentioned to you that we're looking at an issue with historical preference, because for the price, as I guess I agree with Senator Heiner's remark, that I think it's relatively cheap, that you can wear it on your ring for $10 a year, and we're asking for another 10, which, you know, I don't think you can eat at McDonald's for 10 bucks. But in order to make this deal work and to get along, we need to accept the amendment. I am quite concerned because the amount of brands we have and people, we were trying to raise the fee enough that we would generate some brands being dropped. So we wouldn't have 3 iron brands or a youngster having to go to a sale in Phillips, South Dakota and give $3,000 or $4,000 for a brand so they can get an FFA loan. I've seen it happen many times where a friend of mine retired and had 6 brands and he took them to Belfouche 3 different weeks and sold them for $3,000 or $4,000 a piece. Our school bus driver in Wall took his brand to Phillip when his dad sold out and they leased their plants and took it to Phillip and sold it for $4,000. It isn't a money-making deal. It's your identification on your livestock. And, you know, we still got to run a business. We still got to run it like a business. We need to make it more efficient. Computers are coming. We need to update. We need to put in a credit card system. We just need to do things to make it better. We've looked at trying to put the conflict list on a computer so you can put it in there and blip it would be back in 5 seconds instead of employing two people when they have time and they're not answering the phone to go through and follow up and make sure that it isn't on some other issue that's going to happen. You know, there's just lots of reasons why, you know, that we need to have the increase, but mostly is to make it more efficient. And if we get our chief brand inspector certified and gets through law school, which he signed up for to go in March, that those guys can do an on-call basis. Hopefully we won't have to fill that third position, but we can do it within house. And I just think those kind of things have, when I accepted the appointment to this job, that where my goal was to, as a cattle producer and a feedlot operator, to make this system more efficient, and anything we can do to do that, I think is what I have to offer. Thanks for your time. Any questions anybody would have?
Thank you. Any other proponent testimony? Proponent testimony.
Good morning, Chairman, members of the committee. My name is Jeremiah M. Murphy from Rapid City. I'm the registered lobbyist for the South Dakota Stock Growers Association, and I'm pleased to appear before you today in full-throated support of this bill as amended. Stock growers, we've been looking at this. Everyone's been looking at it for the last 2 years. Last year, we were neutral on it. I stayed in my seat when this bill came up, and there was more talk, more discussion, more work done this year. Our board moved from neutral on it to positive, and I would make a couple of quick points on that. As in particular the previous witness noted, this is not simply a raise in fees. There's value added, we believe, in what's planned for the brand board and what's planned for our members. I'd argue that our group might be the largest single group of users of the brand inspection program. We see value coming out of this. And one of the things that we prefer, we'll get stung here and there. Our producers will pay more in a couple of points for this, but they see more value coming to them, and they certainly prefer this to an increase in inspection fees. And as a matter of law, in any event, those two funds are separated, so this is the way you have to go. But we're looking forward to continuing to work with the brand board. We're looking forward to this providing them the tools to provide better service. And the last point I'd raise that was sort of interesting, the last speaker noted, just last session or the session before, we expanded the authority of the brand board to work with law enforcement East River when they have cases of theft. This ties into that. So we think the brand board is going in a very good direction with the fee increase and the associated service changes, and for all of those reasons, we'd urge your support. Thank you.
All right, thank you. Any other proponent testimony?
Good morning, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. My name is Brenda Foreman, and I'm a registered lobbyist for South Dakota Cattlemen's. And yes, we do rise in support of Senate Bill 149, and I want you to note that I'm going to pick on Mr. Murphy a little bit. Both the stock growers and cattlemen's do support the increases. The brand board has explained the need for additional funding in order to provide these services for all of our members, and we see this as a good bill moving forward to allow them to keep doing that. With that, we'd ask for your support of the bill. Thank you.
Thank you. Any other proponent testimony?
Good morning. Michael Held, South Dakota Farm Bureau. We rise in support of the bill. Our county farm bureaus and our delegates looked at the cost of the administration of the program and last year already saw the need to increase these fees so that the program can be self-sufficient. We just saw the amendment this morning. We are willing to work with people that run the brand program to try and make sure that in a long-range basis the program can fit into the parameters outlined in the amended bill. Thank you.
Thank you. Any other proponent testimony? Okay, seeing none, I'll open up to opponent testimony. Seeing none, I'm going to waive rebuttal if the prime sponsor is okay with that and bring it back for Committee questions and or action? Seeing no questions, do I have Senator Blair?
I move a due pass on Senate Bill 149.
Second. I have a due pass motion by Senator Blair, seconded by Senator Klum. As amended, is there any other, or is there any questions on the due pass motion? Any discussion? Mr. Blair, or Senator Blair?
Yeah, I know it's a tough time for cattlemen, but when they come together to agree on something, or ag groups come together and agree on something, they know it's important, then that's good to see, and we do that in South Dakota. Even though prices aren't what we'd like for them to be, I remember our local veterinarian told me one time we brought a cow in to have a C-section. I says, boy, prices are really good. We want to save everyone. And Doc Provachet says, no, when prices are bad, you want to save everyone. And I think in this case, we are doing the most efficient thing possible. I hope the people that wanted this amendment to adjust those prices are aware of what's happening, that they keep an eye on this, and if this is not sufficient, that they step up to the plate when we may need more.
Alrighty, thank you. Any other discussion? Senator Heiner.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Well, I appreciate the brand board being here. You think our job is hard, try being on the brand board. So I urge support of this bill. Thank you.
Thank you. Any other discussion on Senate Bill 149 as amended? Okay, we have a due pass motion. Senate Bill 149 as amendment. All those in favor will say aye. All those opposed will say nay. And Madam Secretary, the Secretary will call the roll.
Senators Blair.
Aye.
Ewing.
Aye.
Klum.
Aye.
Otten.
Aye.
Sohold.
Aye.
Foster.
Aye.
Heinert.
Aye.
Youngberg.
Oops. Aye.
Kamak.
Aye.
The vote's unanimous.
All righty. Senate Bill 149 receiving a unanimous vote. I declare passed. Further. Oh, we can't. Yep. Okay. With that being said, I'll turn over my spot to the rightful chair of Ag. Yes.
Thank you, Senator Youngberg. And at this time, we will consider Senate Bill 153, authorize the Game Fish and Parks Commission to provide a special hunting license with the proceeds to be used for habitat.
Morning, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. Jason Simmons with the Governor's Office here this morning to ask for your favorable consideration of Senate Bill 153. In 2018, South Dakota celebrated the 100th pheasant hunting season, along the way establishing South Dakota as the premier pheasant hunting destination, as well as building a tradition like none other. The Second Century Initiative has been implemented by Governor Noem in an effort to retain the hunting tradition to assure generations to come can enjoy the bountiful opportunities of the first 100 years. Through the Second Century Initiative, efforts are in progress to develop new and creative means of generating funds to enhance and build wildlife habitat. New revenue to provide funding for habitat projects could be generated using raffles for high-demand big game licenses. Senate Bill 153 would allow for the establishment of a new Hunt for Habitat license package that would be raffled to both residents and non-residents. Such a package could include elk, buffalo, deer, antelope, and turkey licenses. The most attractive structure would allow these licenses to be valid at any time and place that a hunting season is open to South Dakota for the big game license. To maximize revenue, non-resident opportunities would need to be included in a raffle as well. Implementation of such raffles would require passage of a bill to authorize the Game Fish and Parks Commission to promulgate rules to establish Hunt for Habitat fundraising mechanisms. Senate Bill 153 would do just that, providing the Game Fish and Parks Commission the authority to establish administrative rules which would allow the department to provide license through a drawing structure using non-refundable application fees that will be directed towards habitat and programs. This bill places a maximum application fee of $10 for residents and $20 for non-residents. I want to reiterate that this is a completely voluntary funding source. No one who doesn't want to pay will have to. And for just a little background of what some of the numbers are and what these funds could be used for, license raffles and auctions have shown to be a source of substantial revenue in other states, particularly in western states with big game hunting opportunities. In Wyoming, about 14,600 hunters bought over 70,000 Super Tag raffle tickets in 2018, and this generated about $914,000 in revenue. Arizona generated approximately $700,000 in 2018, and Montana generated almost $300,000 in 2018 alone. There are multiple ways this additional revenue could be used to enhance habitat. Habitat programs that fit into the working lands arena not only benefit landowners and producers, but also have wildlife benefits. Funds could be used to match private donations and contributions, as well as match funds with other conservation partners to leverage USDA Farm Bill programs. These financial resources provide an excellent opportunity for the state to continue working with existing partners like South Dakota Corn, Pheasants Forever, and Ducks Unlimited, while also building new partnerships with other non-government organizations. For example, habitat funds could immediately be used to enroll additional acres into the saline soil program currently in progress by Pheasants Forever and South Dakota Corn. Another approach is using habitat funds for seed cost share initiatives for landowners enrolling in the Soil Health and Income Protection Program introduced by Senator John Thune in the latest Farm Bill. Long-term grant agreements through USDA Natural Resources Conservation Services and the Regional Conservation Partnership Program can be used where partner funds will be matched with state funds and maximized to leverage federal resources to implement various habitat programs. And finally, these aren't all the opportunities that are available. I'd like to remind the committee and anyone listening in that Governor Noem wants to crowdsource habitat solutions. So if you visit habitat.sd.gov, you can submit your recommendation for habitat solutions, and should we choose to implement your program, we only feel it's appropriate to waive your combination hunting fishing license or your park entrance fees for the year. So I'm not sure that your favorable vote on this bill will qualify for you for that program, but at any rate, I'd ask for your support of the bill. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you. Are there any further proponents?
Good morning, Mr. Chairman, committee members, Tony Life, Director of the Wildlife Division for the Department of Game, Fish, and Parks. I'm here to offer department support for Senate Bill 153. Mr. Simmons did an excellent job of summarizing the foundation of how this super tag raffle could be used and how the monies generated from that could be put in place. Bottom line is what Senate Bill 153 does is puts a revenue-generating tool in the toolbox for the Game, Fish, and Parks Commission. A lot of the details of how that can be worked out will be worked with the Commission should Senate Bill 153 pass, but we look forward to working with our Commission to generating the revenue to support the initiatives that Governor Noem has put into place with her Second Century Initiative. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'll stand by for any questions.
Thank you. Are there any further proponents? Are there any further proponents? Seeing none, are there any opponents? Any opponents? Seeing none, we will waive the rebuttal and bring it back to the committee for questions. Senator Soholt.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I don't know who will answer. Just how many licenses are we talking about?
Mr. Chairman, Senator Soholt, Tony Life again with the Wildlife Division, Department of Game, Fish, and Parks. I don't know that a specific number has been identified just yet. The original thought was to put together a combination license, or one that would have some of the high demand licenses that we have along with some of the lesser demand licenses as a package. That would have included an elk, an antelope, a deer, and a turkey license. I think other options are out there. I mean, they could be single licenses, highly demand licenses, like a buffalo license in the park, and they could be combination licenses. But I don't. We really haven't settled in on one or a specific number of licenses that could be issued. Other states have found success by issuing single licenses. Some have found success issuing, I think Wyoming calls theirs the trifecta license, where you get three high demand licenses. But I think the key is putting into place a system that has a raffle for high demand licenses and allows for a lot of people to participate. I mean, that's the neat thing about the raffle program is that it can appeal to a wide variety of hunters, and they can all get involved with the Second Century Initiative by buying these raffle tickets and being a part of the solution of habitat, better habitat in our state.
So was there any conversation? I mean, I hear what you're saying about, okay, maybe we're going to package three things together, do whatever, and so it sounds like a smaller number, but how open-ended this bill is, it could be 50 licenses, or we're going to do 100. I mean, where's the restraint and the intent? I mean, I'm just trying to understand.
Senator Mack, Senator Holt, that restraint will come through a public process that will occur with the Game, Fish, and Parks Commission. There will be no sky is the limit on this because the commission will take public input and will try to decide what that right balance is between the current allocation of licenses that are issued through our standard license allocation system and how many of these should be set aside for these special raffles. But that would come under the authority of Game, Fish, and Parks Commission to set that appropriate level of those number of those licenses.
Thank you.
Senator Heidern.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Mr. Leaf, I guess in that last comment, so would these be separate licenses, or would they go against the allocation that we have right now?
Senator Kamak. Senator Heinert, it would depend on the species. Now, some species, for instance, deer, we have numerous licenses out there, and to set aside a few licenses for this would not have any impact on the number of standard licenses that are issued. However, if there are a more restricted allocation of licenses for, say, bighorn sheep or mountain goat, then it potentially could have an impact on those number of licenses that are issued. The target would be to try to identify some of those licenses that are really high demand, but have a minimal impact on the standard allocation of licenses, or not further inhibit the ability of a hunter to get a standard license through the standard license drawing process.
Follow up. So this super tag, I'm assuming that would be for the next year's season. So you buy a deer tag for 2019, or you know whenever this goes into effect, you would be then eligible for the drawing in the 2020 season. Am I correct, or are we talking about we would do this drawing the same year?
Senator Kamak, Senator Heinert, I think the idea here is that if you are successful in securing one of these raffle licenses, that it has no impact on the standard license allocation system. So and it also would not restrict the individuals of the number of applications that they could put in or raffle tickets that they could buy. So let's take elk as an example. We have restrictions in place where if you have obtained a elk license, you have to wait 9 years before you can apply again. In some instances, it's a once-in-a-lifetime hunt. And you can only submit one application in a year. This system would be such that you could buy multiple chances at that license, and there wouldn't be any restrictions then on the number of it would not affect your eligibility for the standard licenses, and it would be an opportunity for someone to maybe get another license outside of those standard rules that we have in place for the standard allocation.
Senator Plum.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. At one point, I think during Mr. Simmons' testimony, someone mentioned like other states have raised upwards of $300,000. Is that where you're hoping to land as far as a revenue projection?
Mr. Chairman, Senator Klum, you know, it all depends on how many, and again, there's a broad discussion that's going to occur with the commission, but I would hope that we could generate at least a six-figure to start out with and eventually approach that seven-figure number that some of those other states have found success in.
Okay, follow-up. That's basically, if you want to get to that number, you're going to be looking at upwards of 15 to 30,000 licenses at the current caps we put in the bill, correct?
The cap would be on the fee that would be charged. It's important to point out that as raffles go, there would be no restriction on the number of those that you could purchase. So you could purchase multiple chances for a drawing for one of these super tags. So an individual hunter could potentially purchase multiple licenses. And as Mr. Simmons pointed out, I mean, making this opportunity available to both residents and non-residents is going to have a dramatic impact on the level of revenue that can be generated with these super raffles.
Senator Heinert.
I guess one more follow-up. Where would these licenses be eligible then? Would they only be on public land or... Explain that process to me.
Mr. Chairman, Senator Heinert, the licenses, it would be a license to hunt. It would not include access to any private land. Obviously, that's controlled by the landowner. Now, if the license was valid on private land, that hunter would certainly have that opportunity on any of those public lands throughout the state. But it would not grant any access to places where that hunter does not first obtain permission from a private landowner.
Thank you. That's what I needed to hear.
Senator Youngberg.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And I might have missed something Senator Solholt said. So to understand this, so the fees raised, that is just a chance to get you into the drawing. How many people are going to be – do we have a number on how many of these licensures or tags will be given a year? I mean, there could be 50,000 people who put their name in it, but how many are we actually going to take out of that? Do you have an idea?
Mr. Chairman, Senator Youngberg, you know, I think initially it's going to be a relatively few number, a minimal number, no more than, I can't say for sure, 6, 8, 10, something in that order to just get it started. Again, I think the commission's... charge or what they're going to be challenged with is making sure that this doesn't have an undue influence on your ability to get some of those other standard licenses, because we have people that have multiple years of preference waiting in line to generate or to obtain one of those licenses. And I think it's important to find that right balance between preserving that opportunity for those applicants that have multiple preference points and also placing some licenses aside over here to generate some of that revenue that can be brought forward if we're going to move the Second Century Initiative forward.
Another question.
Senator Klum.
Just thinking through this, and maybe I don't know how the process is now with other raffles. Whoever's drawn, are those names published? Like, do we know who wins?
Mr. Chairman, Senator Klum, right now, license lists can be obtained from the Game Fish and Parks Commission. There's a process in place for people to obtain the names. When it comes to these, I suspect that'll be something that we will make public, because it is a special fundraising effort, and certainly we do have the ability to list those names or publish those names of the winners in this case of these particular raffles.
Are there further questions? Senator Foster.
Okay. Thank you. Proceeds from the application shall be used for a habitat program. Will this commission also detail how those funds within the habitat program are what they allocate towards, how they're used?
Mr. Chairman, Senator Foster, it's an excellent question. The Game Fish and Parks Commission does have the authority granted to them by state statute to administer these funds or to direct those funds to destinations or expenditures. So, yes, it would fall within the authority already granted to the Game, Fish, and Parks Commission by state statute.
Thank you.
Are there any further questions? Seeing no further questions, at this time we'll close public testimony and move it on to the committee for discussion and or action. Senator Heinert.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I would move do pass.
It's been moved by Senator Heinert, do pass, second by Senator Klum. Any further discussion?
Well, thank you, Mr. Chair, and I appreciate this bill and what it intends. I would just caution that I don't want this to turn into something that it's not. I want to make sure that South Dakotans are still able to access all the licenses that we have allocated now. Hopefully that they take the time in the rulemaking to make sure that happens. And I'd also, kind of following what Senator Foster had mentioned, that we allocate those resources that we raise to things that is going to benefit the average South Dakotan. I mean, we need to take care of our own people first. And hopefully, I have faith in the commission that they will do those. So I'll be supporting this at this time, and I'll be watching it, though. Thank you.
Mr.
Chair. Well, for all the reasons that the good senator from Todd County area talked about, I'm not going to be supporting the bill today. I support everything about it, the governor's initiative, the innovative ways of raising money, the support to habitat, what we want to do to preserve pheasant hunting in South Dakota. But I'm not in support of the open-ended conversation regarding this bill. I feel in initiating a program, there could have been a little bit of clarity that was brought so that we could be assured of restraint. There's just a lot of, I appreciate the good intent by Game, Fish, and Parks. I have no reason to think that isn't what they want to do. But it is a very open-ended proposition on being able to go too far because we're trying to support habitat and pheasants versus preference points for our citizens of South Dakota, the people who have been waiting for a very long time. Had there been any kind of restraint put into the bill on X amount of licenses, but, you know, to say, well, we don't think, we don't know, to me, it does not feel like it is fully formed. I understand statutorily where we don't want to tie the hands of people implementing a good program. And I think this is a good program. And so how we like to keep statute broad versus prescriptive, but without any accountability language, I cannot support it in its current form.
Any further discussion? Senator Blair.
Yeah, the whole time going through my mind is just trust me. We'll get it right. Don't worry about it. Just let us do it. And we've had instances where I've had people come and they said, man, I got ripped off now because so many years I've been, and I'm on the list, top of the list, and somebody else got this. And now I didn't get it, so it's because of this, and may not have been, but if we could come and say, this is the details, we have it worked out, I can present this, this does not happen to you, and this is exactly what the program works like. Again, not trying to constrain your hands, not loving the program and the whole idea, but just fearful of, you know, I'm voting on something saying, go for it, I give you my blessing, and I don't know what it looks like, and that is, you know, that concerns me.
Is there any further discussion? Seeing none, the chairman will take the prerogative to have the last word. I am very familiar with the process that the commission goes through to determine the rules and the processes that this goes through. And I would never wish to be on the the Game Commission, because those guys spend hours and hours taking a look at every possible nuance of a program like this. So because of that, I have a lot of confidence in the fact that those folks will have the last say as far as the procedures and things on this. So with that, we would the motion is do pass on Senate Bill 153. And with that, we will have the Secretary call the roll.
Senators Blair.
Aye.
Ewing.
Aye.
Klum.
Aye.
Otten.
Aye.
Soholt.
No.
Foster.
Aye.
Heinert.
Aye.
Youngberg.
Aye.
Kamak.
Aye.
8-1.
The bill passes out with a do pass recommendation for Senate Bill 153 on an 8-1 vote. At this time, the final bill that we had on the agenda was Senate Bill 159, and I believe that the sponsor is out sick today, so we are going to defer the hearing of that bill to another day. And if there's no further business to come before the committee, I would entertain a motion for adjournment.
So moved. Second.
Moved by Senator Klum, seconded by Senator Youngberg. All those in favor, aye.
Aye.